thank you for everything you do for us, Lord, just the love that you show, and let us show others that love. You know, we're so grateful for your grace, and we should bestow it onto others as we're those around us. Lord, and just be with us today. Be with me. Let you speak through me. Don't let this come from me, but let it come from you. In Jesus' name, amen. So 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Chapter 3, verse 15. Jesse, can you read that? All right, so this really nicely sums up the purpose of 1 Timothy, of why Paul wrote this letter. He wrote this letter to instruct Timothy on how he should conduct himself. You know, how he deals with certain people and how to talk to people. After all, he is the new leader of the Church of Ephesus. What's important is when we're reading the Bible, is to know context. You know what's happening during that time when it was written, and to know why it was written. You know, the purpose of why it was being written. You know, sometimes we can get a wrong idea if we don't know why something is written down. We could take text messages, for example. I don't know about you, you know, if Michelle texts me, "Are you going to be home soon?" Maybe she's just wondering. Or maybe I'm in trouble. I don't know. More than likely I'm in trouble. I don't know. I don't know, she doesn't give me a clear answer. She's not one of those people, and I know everybody has those people with text, and then just texts a book, and you're like, oh, texts are only supposed to be certain sentences, right? Short, to the point. But when something is just like a one sentence, it's hard to tell sometimes what's going on. You know, if you take a verse from here or there, you know, you can easily just kind of twist what it's going to say. So you need to know the whole thing, the context, and then the purpose of it. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is I just want you to kind of keep that in mind. You always should keep it in mind, but we need to keep that in mind when we're reading chapter 5. And then we'll go on to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1. Sandro? So rebuke, if we look at the actual definitions of rebuke, it means to express sharp disappointment or criticism of someone because of their behavior or action. Now, the Greek word used here can be also translated to strike out. You know, it's very aggressive and harsh. Paul is not telling Timothy he should never tell an older man that they're doing wrong. He's not saying that. But he's saying when you're talking to them, you know, don't do it harshly. You know, some people might think, oh, well, the older guys, they could take it, or they should know better if they're doing wrong. And yeah, they should. But we could look at it as, you know, an older person, you know, they've been around a long time, they've had experiences, and maybe they've been in a bad habit for a long time. So it might be a little tricky to tell somebody, oh, well, that's the wrong thing to do when they've been doing it all their life. Right? So we need to look at their point of view, too. But the point is, we should be respectful. We should be respectful to everybody, but especially somebody older. Paul says to treat an older man like a father and a younger man like a brother. I'm not sure about you, but I could definitely, when my dad was around, I could definitely talk to him differently than when I talked to my brother. You know, there'd be a different dynamics. You know, there's different ways to talk to different people. At the time, Timothy would have been on the younger side of things. You know, he would have been in charge of a lot of older men what were there at the church, but he would definitely be on the younger side. Now, typically, and we're just talking typically, Paul would be writing this and just get a general idea, but typically older people, you know, they think they know more because they've been around longer, right? They've seen things. Now, younger people think they know more because typically they don't want to be told what to do. So they think, I know enough to get by. You know, the way we approach a person is huge. An older person might have a harder time getting instructions from a younger person. And that's where Paul is really talking to Timothy about this, is he might be having a harder time from a younger person. So a respectful way is a much better way to get your point across. Now, a younger person to a younger person, you know, you're talking about peers, you're talking about kind of the same level. So you could approach it a little bit different. You could be a little bit more straightforward to somebody who thinks you're at the same level or the same age. You know, you could be more straightforward. Then Paul goes on in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 2. Stephen. So just like talking to older men, we should show respect to older women. Talk to them like you would talk to your mother. You know, we still can't let them get away with murder, but we don't want to be sent to our rooms either, right? So we need to have respect. As far as talking to a younger woman, you know, you don't talk to a young woman like a brother. That'd be a little bit, could be a little crude. And you don't talk to him with lust. But a godly man, and that's what he's talking to Timothy about, is when he is talking to a younger woman, he needs to talk to her like a sister, like she was his actual physical sister, you know, in all purity. You know, you're trying to be nice, right? And not get a date. You're just... You know, we're talking about church settings also, so it's not a mingle, you know, it's a mingle place. So a godly man, in all purity, talks to a young lady as a sister. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 3. Michelle? I'm sorry, do you want to just sit, or do you want to read to, or? Okay. All right. You'll be next, but go ahead. And I'm sorry, your name? Jaden? Oh, Layden. Jalen. Okay. Sorry. All right. Honor widows who are really widows. So anybody know what a widow is? Like a black widow? Yes, it's a female who's lost their husband. They didn't just lose him at Walmart. They lost him because he's dead. So that's the definition of a widow. So we need to look at why these women are set apart. And it says to honor widows. This leans to respect, but it also leans to financial support. In the world back then, they didn't really have government welfare programs, so there were quite a few people in need, but especially widows, because typically the man takes care of the family financials back in the world back then. Now the women, they did have plenty of jobs, but for the most part, the men did most of the work outside the home. So the widows would have been ones in need as far as financial needs, as far as taking care or getting food. They would have been ones what needed that. Now, they would typically have no one else to take care of them, if they're widows, if their husband's gone. So what is the difference between a widow and a real widow? Did her husband like die horribly or in war? Well, we'll find out in 1 Timothy chapter 5, 4 through 6. So a real widow are the ones who have nobody. You know, Paul tells Timothy the church should help the needy. And that's kind of a no-brainer. You know, they should help the needy. However, there's kind of a line of somebody who truly needs help and somebody who's looking just for means. Means that they're just looking for a little bit of help. You know, with family, there's responsibility. And with a Christian family means they should be loving not just others, but they should be really loving their family, right? I mean, they should be loving their family more than a non-believer. You know, families should stick together, helping each other out. Also, that widow, what is coming to the church for help, they should be trusting in God. You know, they come to the church and they should be a believer to do that. Praying all the time, they should be praying all the time and living life like they should be praying and relying on God, because that's where they're getting their help. But those who live life in pleasure, these are the type of people what, you know, live according to their desires. You know, doing whatever they want, not necessarily what they should be doing or what they could afford to do. The thing is, if somebody has a problem spending money on the wrong things before getting more money, the wise thing to do is to fix the problem before repeating the problem. It's kind of like cutting up a credit card, not getting a second one to pay off the first one. Because you just don't be in debt. You know, somebody who's just living for pleasure, they're not really trusting the Lord. They're just going to spend more money on more food when they just need a little. 1 Timothy chapter 5, 7 and 8. Jesse? So this goes back to verse 4 about family should be taking care of family. You know, for the widow, what has the adult kids or grandkids, that family needs to take care of family. Paul is he again is talking typically. In Paul's mind, typically somebody who is a believer should have a family full of believers. You know, these family members would have been good people. And it doesn't make sense why the family member wouldn't take care of another family member. So if they're not willing to take care of that own family who is also trusting God, who's also a believer, you're not just denying your family, but you're denying your faith. You know, because as a Christian, we're supposed to be taking care of others. And who better than to take care of your family, because you already know your family? You know, it'd be better off if you were an unbeliever. Because at least then you could say, well, I just didn't know any better. Nobody told me. And that's what he's getting at. It's like, for a believer, that it should be just second nature. 1 Timothy chapter 5, 9 and 10. Yeah. Sorry.
Do not let a widow under
60
years old take a number unless she has a life. Well,
Works.
If she had five children, if she has lodged strangers, as if she has watched the same as me, if she has children with him, then she has to be called a good word.
So I guess the retirement back then was 6 years old, right? 60. Again, the church should be helping those in need. Not every case is going to be the same, but Paul is saying that widows that are over 60, right? A faithful wife, that's what it means when it's talking about the wife of one man. Is, you know, doing good works, known for doing good works. Charity, helping others, that's lodging people. It talks about raising kids. I mean, whether it be your own kids or adoptions or just helping out with other people's kids, you know, doing charity work. 100%, without a doubt, these type of people should be on that list. They should be being helped out. You know, they're good people, they're godly people, and they're doing things. It's talking about washing the feet of the saints. You know, is helping out others. They're doing God's work, and they need to be helped out. 1 Timothy chapter 5, 11 through 13. Stephen?
Wanton.
Idol. I don't know why we don't talk or ought not. So there's a difference, and Paul's kind of explaining, and like I said, I say this plenty of times, it's general, right? He's talking about the differences between an older widow and a younger widow. Not every case is going to be the same. And if Paul would go through every possibility of the case, this chapter would be very long, and we'd be here for a very long time, going over the little things. But Paul means when he says about the younger women growing wanton. You know, it's that they really want. You know, that's just another word, and it describes really want. They really desire to be married again. And sometimes when ladies, they really want to be married, sometimes they'll go and not have godly wisdom about it. You know, they're in their relationships. Maybe it's the wrong type of guy that they will settle for in order just to get married, or maybe it's sex before marriage. You know, they're just not using godly wisdom in order to get married. They're just looking at, oh, I need to get married for somebody to take care of me. You know, they're not willing to wait on the Lord. You know, they're not willing to wait, and then there's that fine line between waiting and being idle. You know, they say that idle hands are the devil's workshop, because if you're not trusting in God, if you're not about the Father's business, sometimes there's a lot of people will end up working for the other guy. You know, they try to make things happen on their own power. You know, they're trying to do this on their own steam, but our power, our works, you know, they don't measure up. We need to wait and trust in God and fully trust in Him, in His power. You know, gossip and busybodies, again, that is kind of, when ladies become idle, they're just, you know, and this goes with gentlemen too, is that they could gossip, they could be in other people's business. And it's not a good thing to be in that way. It's big trouble. You know, it's something we don't want to be a habit of. 1 Timothy 14 and 15, Michelle. Paul thinks it's a good idea. You know, it was a good idea for the widows to remarry, you know, as long as they keep their faith. As long as they keep their faith intact. He's saying that it'd be a good thing because, and again, times were a little bit different back then. It was more along the lines in here in America. It could be different. But it's a good thing to keep busy as far as in a godly way. We don't want to be busy in a non-godly way. That gets us in trouble. But in a godly way, it keeps our mind focused on God and keeps us away from Satan. Right? We need that more than anything. We need to be focused to stay away from Satan and focused on God. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 16. Late. Okay, and Paul will, in the Bible actually, will repeat itself. It's just making a point. Right? So that we really get that point. Paul's been going over the church's responsibility of taking care of the widows. And we're talking financial need, financial support. Paul is saying if there is a family member, it's first their responsibility to take care of the widow. But if there's nobody, yes, it's going to fall on the church. Plus, they should be believers, and they should be helping out at the church, or around the church, or at least in the community, doing godly things. Now, I know that there's some people who would be saying, well, it sounds like the church is all about the money, and they just care about the money. They just want all the money for themselves. In some churches, unfortunately, that can be the case. And there's churches out there in... there's a whole bunch of different details, but money is a very sensitive subject. We all like to have money, right? It's nice. It gets us things we want. So it's very sensitive talk about people. But this isn't where Paul's going from. He's not worried about the money because God will provide. He's talking about godly wisdom. Paul's idea is that if there is somebody out there what can help that widow, then as a Christian, they should do that. Plus, if they refuse to let the family member help them, if they said, no, I'll get the money from the church, and I'll take from the church, the thing is, this actually might take away from the church helping somebody else. What doesn't have a family member helping, what doesn't have anything. As far as the widows being helped, they should be Christian. They should be. Because we're not talking about just a one-time thing. We're talking about an ongoing financial thing. That's what they're talking about here, is ongoing. So not knowing Jesus is a bigger problem than not having money. So there might be a case where, and again, Paul's just talking generally, but it might be a case where, you need to get things right and then help them financially, but you need to make sure that they get saved before going to the next step. So they should be saved. And if we look deep in ourselves, they should know. It's nice to help people out, but they should be a believer if they're coming to church and asking for them to help them out. In Galatians 6, verse 2, times are different, obviously, back then. It's way different, especially here in America. We have all kinds of things that they did not. And the financial needs have also changed. As far as jobs and as far as females, with their job situation, it has changed dramatically. However, our Christian walk has not changed. Should talk to those around us with respect. We should learn how to help them, how to talk to them, how to love, how to be in love and kindness towards them. Family members are still as important as ever. Family should be a tight-knit organization. This includes church family. We're all families. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. And we should be tight together and in helping those in need, helping each other. The church still helps those in need. But just like then, the church needs to do it in a godly wisdom about helping those in need. We'll close in prayer.